Sure. Right now I'm in New York, and I've already had breakfast, and my day is just beginning, and I'm going to start it by talking to you. My name's Allison Klayman. I'm a documentary filmmaker and a freelance journalist. I lived in China for the last few years working, also filming Ai Weiwei for my first feature documentary called Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry. Ai Weiwei has a very commanding presence. I feel like he is a figure that, you know, when he walks into the room, you sort of you pay attention. He's very charismatic, very fun-loving. I mean, he wants to have a good time. He wants to enjoy life, and I think that that's part of his appeal, an important part of his appeal, because while he's talking about very serious issues, contemporary events and, you know, values and ideals, which can be very heavy things, he often still wants to bring some humor, wants to bring a lighter side, wants to bring a more human side to his communication with people. And I really think that that's what helps him have such a large following, especially of young people, because it doesn't feel like, you know, homework to read what Ai Weiwei thinks. You know, he wants to appeal to you and also, you know that you can have a good time, that something can be a joke. And I think that that really helps to sort of relate to him as a person. So, you know, to me, he strikes me as, despite the fact that he is very much, you know, he's a celebrity. He's a very famous artist, architect, designer. He comes from a family where his father has universal name recognition in China. You know, he travels the world. He has a very large stable of assistants and people that work with him. But yet he really is a pretty down-to-earth person who, you know, cares about the person that he might be talking with and really cares about individual sort of individuality and individual dignity of life. Oh, yes, and I remember the first time I actually met him as well, partly because I have it on camera. You don't see me because it was my camera. Eventually, my friend Stephanie invited me to make a video for the gallery for the show when Weiwei would show his New York photographs. So I came with her to his studio in December 2008, and we came early. Maybe it was like 8 a.m. was their sort of routine. And Stephanie and Rong Rong, the photographer whose gallery she worked for, the three of us were waiting around in his studio, and I was looking around and looking at the different things on the wall and the different sculptures and architecture plans rolled up. And we waited for him to come in, and he came in from the outside, from his sort of living area of his studio. And my camera was already on because I was filming us, you know, having this meeting and looking at things in the studio. So I just turned my already rolling camera onto him, and he was sort of a little groggy and still waking up, but it was very clear that he has a really big presence. You know, the room changed when he came in. He was the focal point, and everyone was like, all right, we're getting to work. And, you know, he sort of looked at, you know, who's that with the camera? And they said, oh, Allison's going to make a video for the show. And he nodded and then continued getting right to work. I followed Ai Weiwei, I guess, then from the end of 2008, really through 2011. And, you know, as I was working on a rough cut, was when April 3rd, when Weiwei was taken away. And so obviously the story was now, had sort of reached a new level, but we also really didn't know where it was going to go. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if I still, for a long time, I could remember April 3rd, like a minute by minute account. But I was in New York, and it was morning time when he was stopped at the airport in Beijing. So it was nighttime here in New York. And I was out one night. I was out that night not too far from my house. And I looked at my phone and I saw on, I think it was either Facebook or Twitter, I don't know, that I saw the first note that said, you know, Weiwei was taken away. And I immediately got onto Skype on my phone and was calling some of his assistants in Beijing, calling to China and asking, you know, what happened, what's going on? They said, you know, that's what we heard. He was taken away alone. We think Jen, who was the assistant that was with him, went through to Hong Kong. We're here at the studio. We don't know why, but the power seems to be off here, so we're going to go out and get some lunch. That was sort of where we had left it. And I went back to my house to get on the computer and start, you know, retweeting all the news and to sort of translate the news that was in Chinese, keep a good flow of information going on, because my Twitter account and also the film's Twitter account were sort of a good source, a source that people turned to for news about Ai Weiwei. And then I kept calling the people in Beijing, and I heard that the studio was raided, that they took all the electronics, a lot of documents. They brought in about 10 people, including his wife and many of his assistants, in for questioning. And so I was just, you know, tweeting all of this, keeping in touch with the assistants who weren't in questioning yet. And they would check in with me to let me know if they were being brought in, because it was all very unclear, you know, were people going to be held for a long time? You know, were people going to be kicked out of the country? Some of his foreign assistants did end up having to leave both his studio, and some left the country as well. It was, you know, a really scary night, and I think I went to bed at about 5 a.m. here in New York when it was reported that his wife and all of the assistants that were taken in for questioning that day returned home as well. So at that point, I, like, actually went to sleep. But, you know, reporters in Beijing were calling me for news, which is really funny. But it's like, it kind of shows you how information doesn't travel very in a very straightforward manner in Beijing. But everyone knew me as someone who had been working with Weiwei for several years. And so they knew that I must be in touch with everyone. So it was a really crazy night. And of course, the biggest concern was, you know, well, where could Weiwei be, and where is this headed, and how long is it going to be, and what are there going to be charges, and what will they be? And I know that night, the next morning when I woke up after a couple hours, we started writing with my boyfriend, who also is a producer on the film, and he knows Weiwei as well. We were writing an open letter to Hillary Clinton. We were like, what can we do? But really, within days, you know, we were going to put it on the internet maybe the next day. And, you know, the next day, Hillary Clinton was already mentioned him in a speech, and many foreign leaders had already brought up Weiwei's case, which felt at least heartening. At least the world understood that this was a major deal. And sort of, I just continued to speak out about what was happening to him for the next few months. And if I saw Weiwei, I'm pretty sure I'd give him a big hug. I'd ask if he had anything to eat, if he wanted anything. And, you know, I think we would just sit down and start talking about, you know, what's the latest. Because there's nothing better than, you know, having in-person kind of catching up, in-person conversation with him.